You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Mace, I know we're going to talk to Sean McVay, but I've got an update for you.
Oh, good.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
He's doing his presser now for the media. Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, Aaron Donald, and Ernest Jones, all healthy, will rest.
Puka's going to play.
Correct. How do you feel about that?
I am totally fine with that. I want Puka to break the record, and I also don't want any Rams to break
Michael, what do you
anything.
Think about the old rest versus rust argument?
I hate it. I mean, guys like Aaron Donald, I understand he's 33. He's playing a very
Matthew
physical.
Matthew Stafford, I think, is 35 now.
35. Quarterbacks, you could protect quarterbacks from getting hit. If Matthew wanted to stay in rhythm, he could hand off a lot. He can throw quick little passes before the rush can get to him, like those little hitters.
Yeah, sure.
Get the ball out of his hands in 2 seconds. Tell him, under no circumstances do you scramble. That's why I think Lamar should play some. And he doesn't have to play a whole game. Just
don't you think
series.
Instinct takes over at some point? I mean, if you're Lamar or Michael Thomas, at some point, you can't say,
Never run,
because your instinct is to play a certain way, and that's
run,
Lamar's.
Get down, do not take a
and
hit.
Stafford is going to drop back, 25 times.
This is a really interesting argument because, like, what Michael's suggesting has been backed up before. The Rams, was it 2015, 2016, they rested a bunch of guys and then came out super flat in the playoffs.
But they also did that before they won the Super Bowl, and they also did that before they went to the suit. So 2018 and 2021, they did take that last week off.
And these guys are only off for 1 week because they got to play next week.
They
right?
play next week, yeah, right? So they don't. The rust issue is not going to be
right,
as bad as Lamar.
Lamar's, yeah.
Who would be like three weeks?
3 weeks before he plays again.
Yeah, that's tough.
Risky. That's risky.
That and I'll tell you what. After Sunday, there's no question that that's the best team in the league. That's hands down best team in the league.
Okay,
I think they're winning the Super Bowl.
Here's a hard question for you guys. All right.
Yep.
Matter of fact, what odds would you guys give me for mythical money on this?
Okay.
I'd be willing to take two teams to win the Super Bowl this year.
I know which two.
Baltimore, San Francisco, and I'll leave you guys the field. So if Baltimore or San Francisco wins it, I win. If any other team wins, you guys win. What odds do you give me?
Well, I mean, so, I, for one, think the Super Bowl is going to be San Francisco and Baltimore.
So you would
everybody
take,
does.
Wait, nobody would take the field?
So if I take the field, I'm
you get the other
so
12
it's,
teams.
It's basically like you. I would give you 10K, you would give me 100K.
No, other way around. I'm giving you 12 teams, I'm getting two.
That's the most likely.
Yeah, but you have the two favorites.
Right.
So it's can you beat the two? I actually think Greg should have the better odds
right.
than you.
You know, send a note to somebody we know that understand, we can't send
like
it to
ESPN.
Fort.
Send
we can't
it,
send it to Fort.
No,
Ma.
Send it to ESPN.
He's
Bet.
A prickly pear, is what they say.
Yeah,
send it to ESPN Bet.
Or you know what? Send it to RJ. He'll tell us the answer. I wonder. That's a good question, Greg. Who would get the odds if I take Baltimore and San Francisco and leave you the other 12 playoff teams? Would I get odds, or would you get odds?
I would definitely get the odds.
I don't think so. Because I'm leaving you 12.
You're taking because two favorites.
Let's. Ramona just texted me. She'll take the field. Because I think Ramona wants 25K on the field.
Nice.
Oh, I wanted 100K.
Okay. You know what? Ramona, you got a deal. Me against you.
There you go.
I've got Baltimore and San Francisco. Ramona has the field for 25K. You're not getting any odds. She just said, what odds are you getting?
Right.
No, you're not getting any odds. You just offer me the bet. Or we could say whatever our gambling expert says we'll do.
All right.
But we gotta get some answers.
Somebody, Kobe Forever in the Mason and Ireland Mafia tweeted this. 5 minutes in, L.A. Ireland throws a bag of weed to Venice Mace, and then they define what a sex cam is.
What has happened to this show?
Beginning of the show.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you want.
Right off the bat. Here's some weed, and let's talk sex cams.
The sex cam has something to do with ESPN. 7-10.
Correct. Yeah,
so it's sports related.
Yeah, it is sports.
during the Sugar Bowl.
Technically, yes. Yeah.
By the way, talk about pressure. There's no athlete under more pressure this season or maybe ever in the NFL history than Lamar Jackson.
Why?
Not only did he dominate this year in the regular season, and he did that before, now he's got to win in the playoffs. And what has been the narrative about him? He cannot win in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So being a number one seed again, he better get to the Super Bowl.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to the show right now the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, who are playoff bound, Coach Sean McVay. Sean, congratulations, man.
Thank you. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Sean. Hey, how'd the first Christmas with the little guy go?
Oh, it was great. You know, he's just wide-eyed, and then he gets pissed off when he's hungry. He's just like his dad.
There you go.
I love to hear it. I'm glad he had a good one. All right, we just saw the note. I know you just met with the other media that you're going to rest a handful of guys, Stafford Cup, Kyren Williams, Aaron Donald, Ernest Jones. Explain to us why, because I know it's a hard decision. On one hand, you want to win. On the other hand, you don't want to get anybody hurt. What went into your decision to rest that group?
Yeah, and then Tyler Higbee and Joe Noteboom will be out for injury reasons as well. So
okay.
What went into it was, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, you've already punched your ticket. What is to be gained as opposed to what could potentially be at risk? And felt like this was the best decision. All of those guys have had either a bunch of experience or a lot of pounding on their body this season. Feel like, hey, there's a lot of important players that for this team, but felt like those guys, you know, represented a group that would be served well to use this week as a chance to, you know, stay sharp, but not leave them susceptible to injury, and then give an opportunity for some other guys to try to go play well with their teammates, and then we'll be ready to go for the playoffs.
So, Sean, there is a little, like, playoff wrinkle here, because if you are the six, you're probably going to Detroit, and if you are the seven, it's going to be a matchup with, I think, Dallas in the NFC East. Do you think about that, the six versus the seven? Does that make a difference to you?
Yeah, I think you're talking about two great teams. You know, you look at when they played on Saturday night, it comes down to a final two-point conversion. And so I think those are two excellent teams. You know, Dallas is in a position to win their division this last week of the regular season. Detroit's already done that. I think what you know is it's going to be a great challenge either way. And if you said you potentially leave some of those guys, and really any of our main guys in general, susceptible to injury, you know, we've got a better chance to go play well and potentially come away with the result that we're hunting up when those guys are feeling good. And so just that was what I felt like was the best approach. Is it perfect? No, not by any stretch. But given the circumstances, felt like with those players and really, you know, there's other guys that you'd want to consider as well. But you don't have that luxury when you got 53 guys active, 48 up on game day, and you can possibly flex up two people on your, you know, from your practice squad.
Puka Nacua, Sean, has a chance to break the rookie record both for yards and for receptions. I think he needs 3 or 4 catches and 30 or so yards. Was that even considered by you? Is that something that means something to the coaching staff, or did that not play into it?
No, I would be lying if I said that wasn't something that you considered. He sure has done a heck of a job for us, but when you're talking about it, as it relates to the yardage record, a 65-year record, you know, giving him an opportunity while being smart to potentially get that because of where he's at in regards to getting there is something you consider. But, yes, that's something that we've talked about and we're aware of.
Coach Sean McVay is with us, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN here in the home of the Rams. So the kicking situation has just scared the hell out of me all year long. There have been a lot of misses. It was Maher, then Haversick, and now Maher's back. Talk about the process of deciding who would wind up being your kicker for the stretch run and for the postseason.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, you know, there were some other guys out there, but I do think that Brett did a nice job, and I think I put him in some tough situations earlier in the year that were difficult for any kicker, let alone, you know, some of the top ones. And Brett has been a really good player in this league. He's got a lot of experience. Lucas is a guy that, like I said, I think has upside. We just weren't seeing enough consistency from some of those close range or, you know, some of the extra points. And so felt like this was the best route to go leading into the playoffs. And so, we'll always try to make decisions that we feel like are best for the football team, and that's why we ended up deciding to go with Brett.
So, you know, I'm dumb. You come on the show every week, and this is just a dumb observation on my part. You've got a guy, Ethan Evans, who's the punter who you drafted in this year's draft, and he's also your kickoff guy. He's got an absolutely booming leg. Was it ever considered that maybe that guy could wind up being your kicker?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of intricacies to field goal kicking. You know, Ethan happens to be our holder as well, which is a pretty important part of that. So, yeah, I think he's capable of doing it in an emergency situation, but there is some nuances, some timing, and you know, some differences in regards to, you know, guys being able to do all of those things. You will see punters around the league have the ability to kick off because of the leg strength and some of the approaches that you see schematically, but not often do you see a guy that's doing both, because it is a specialty skill when you start talking about the field goal operation.
We're talking to Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams. Sean, let me take you back to the Giants game. At the end of that game, after you had taken the lead, the Giants were driving to try and kick the game-winning field goal, and they were out of timeouts. And you called timeout. And that surprised the announcers. I'm sure it surprised some fans. Why did you call timeout when the Giants didn't have any left and they were driving?
Because if they ended up kicking that field goal there, I wanted to make sure I saved time for us to get in field goal range. You knew that they were either kicking it. Once they ended up getting into what I knew they were either in four down territory or a long field goal, which is where they were, and we had the clock stop, it felt like the most important thing was, hey, They're playing for, you know, they've got a chance to kick a field goal to end it, and I didn't want them to wind it down so that the last play of the game could be that. So if they missed, then we were able to take a knee and run it out because of their situation, and if not, then that would have enabled us enough time to be able to potentially go and win the game by 1 point.
Makes sense. Okay, the other thing I noticed was I watched an interview with you that you did, I think with J.B. Long, before the season started. And mm-hmm. nobody was predicting you guys to do much. And they asked you about expectations. And your answer was, look, I'm not going to put a number on it, but I'm very confident that we can compete for a playoff spot with this group. Not a lot of people felt that way, Sean, but you did. Why? What back before the season told you that this would be a team that, as it turns out, made the postseason?
You know, I just think it's the consistency at which the group approached it, and, you know, the belief I have in the players and the coaching staff. And, you know, it's a long journey. You never know exactly what's going to occur, but there was an authentic belief that there was a mental, there was a physical toughness, an identity. And, you know, and I think there's been, you know, that's been shaped along the way, and it's been hardened by some of the challenges, but just about the people. And I think, you know, I think it's going to be a really fun thing to see us go swing and shoot our shot when this thing gets started.
Yeah, by the way, as you know, looking at the game, Byron Young and Kobe Turner both had really good games against the Giants. You guys hit on so many picks this year. I mean, you hit on Byron Young, you hit on Kobe Turner, obviously Puka Nacua, Ethan Evans, great punter. Last year, Kyren Williams was a pick in the middle of the draft. Who is identifying this? I mean, how is you guys are hitting more than anybody in the league right now? Is that Les who and you a combination? How's it work?
Yeah, I think everybody. I mean, you know, you look at the amount of work that Les and his group with the area and the scouts and the pro personnel and the college scouting. I mean, they do such a phenomenal job, and then working in collaboration with our coaches to identify fits for our group. And, you know, I think, you know, those guys deserve a ton of credit, but it's truly a group effort. I think the collaboration is what makes it special, where, hey, you identify some of the traits, the characteristics, the makeup of certain players, and then there's a vision for how they would fit and how they would shine with us. And these are special players. These are, you know, even more special people that you're mentioning. And I think, you know, the longer that we do it together, the better feel we have for the types of players and people that we want to onboard and try to put them in positions to help our football team and for them to, you know, have success individually for our team as well.
All right, last thing for me, Coach. I know you've been to two Super Bowls, and I know you've won one of them. But I personally feel that this is the best coaching job you and your staff have done since you've been here.
Yes.
I look at that roster, I look at the schedule you played, and I think, wow, that is a job. And I know you never take all the credit, so I'll say you and your staff. That is a job that I would feel incredibly proud of. Do you feel that way?
I'm proud of the way that this season has gone in terms of navigating some of the challenges early on, where these guys just stayed steady and consistent. I am proud. I'm proud of this team. I'm proud of these coaches. I'm proud to be in a small way associated with it. And so what I'm really proud of is that they just stayed consistent. And when we had an opportunity to have our bye after 9 games, nobody flinched, nobody blinked. Everybody recommitted to some of the things that we challenged each other to do. I think we collectively have played better football, and I think it resulted in a 6-1 record, you know, where there was different ways that we won the game. I think we started to establish some identities that will serve us well into the playoffs. And, I love working with this team, and I am proud to be a part of it.
Hey, listen, Sean, congratulations. You got the great Christmas present of a playoff spot. I couldn't ask for much more than that. And best of luck on Sunday, and we're excited about the playoffs, man.
Hey, let's go. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Sean, have a great day. See ya.
That's Sean McVay. Brought to you by Service Titan, the all-in-one solution that connects your entire HVAC, electrical, and plumbing operation on a single software platform, helping make the combination we love every Ram season. Coach Sean McVay with Mason and Ireland.
Hey, Michael, where's Pepe?
Yeah, where's Pepe?
I told him to get A. You told him 1 of 3, right?
Yeah. I sent him a U. He's on the same text chain I sent you.
He may not make it.
Yeah, if he doesn't make it, I'll have to switch my game of games to another day.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, you won't, because you have the only game.
My other game of games.
Okay, gotcha. Aye,
aye, aye, Michael.
All right, coming up, we're going to do some What's Up, Fool? Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, that intro said 2:45. You're not late. It's only 2:15.
I thought it was 2:45.
Yeah. No, it's 2:15.
Right now it's 2:15?
Yeah, correct.
Shoot.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
way
late. You're
I'm
late.
Way late.
All right, what do you got?
All right, so thanks, Morales, by the way. I went to the back to the sales side earlier this morning, and there was a massive debate that was going on.
Oh, interesting.
Massive debate. So I sat down on it, and I just want to know how you feel about it, because it was kind of going back and forth.
Okay.
John, are Cheetos a chip?
No.
Michael?
No.
Mace?
No.
Brian?
Yes.
What?
How?
They're
Brian.
In the chip category.
They're not
explain,
a chip?
No, explain how it's a chip. A chip is flat.
It's a puff. It's not a chip.
It's a puff. That's true.
What do you call it?
A puff.
A puff.
It's a but
puff.
It's in the chip category still, isn't
it? Just, it's
a snack.
In the same
it's
aisle.
A, it's, mm-hmm. you know.
It's the same aisle with like beef jerky and other
pretzels.
Stuff, but it doesn't make everything a chip.
Bourbon, what do you
think? Pretzels are not a chip.
I don't think it's a chip.
Who was on the
chip side? So Stephanie Alexander was on the chip side.
Steph?
Yeah, Steph was very much on the chip side. I believe that Gabby Fried was in the middle of it.
She was torn.
She was torn, but yep. I think her and her friend group were all saying that it was
it's
part
more,
chip.
It's closer
part,
to
not,
popcorn than a chip.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's more in the popcorn category, Brian.
No,
yeah.
I don't know. I disagree.
You pound the Cheetos at night, don't you?
You're
a Cheetos guy.
Yes, I do.
You're all good.
But if you say, oh, I'm bringing some chips to your party, and you show up with Cheetos, that's perfectly fine, no?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. It's a snack food. It's not a chip.
Right.
All right. Eh.
Well, when you had your party that was all chips.
Yeah, we had the chips party. That's right. There were no Cheetos.
There was no Cheetos. Are you sure?
Only chips.
Do you
chips.
Remember for sure?
100% only
okay.
chips.
What brand?
Every cent. When we did a Christmas party one year, you don't come to these parties, and it was a chip party, and we had every single kind of chips in the world, little bags of them that people had all night.
And that's all you had to eat?
That's all we had was chips and booze.
What a cheap bastard.
Chips and booze. Are you kidding me? That bar, that bar was flowing,
there were
man.
A lot of drunk people
there.
There
were a lot of drunk
me.
People. Yeah, exactly.
I thanked you for coming
yes,
to your
correct.
Own party.
But when
that's
you
correct.
Drink, you need food to absorb the alcohol.
Yeah, chips.
Yeah,
chips.
That would have helped me.
Yeah, a little chip action.
What's up, fool?
All right, guys, speaking of drinking, you know, one of the pastime bar games is darts.
Sure.
Well, the World Dart Championship is tonight, and the first time ever a 16-year-old is in the finals.
Yeah.
And he's already made $250,000. He said he's been playing darts since he was, I think, 18 months old on, like, a magnetic dart board.
Wow.
But 16 years old going against guys in their 30s who are probably, you know, putting back beers, playing darts.
Sure.
16-year-old, yeah. Best dart player in the world.
Too much pressure on a 16-year-old.
No, I disagree. I'd like to bet on the 16-year-old to win it because he'd be the only one who's not drunk.
Right, and he's also the one who probably cares the least.
Yeah.
The grown-ups who've been playing for 30 years, grizzled dart players, are probably like, I got to win this thing. Right. Kids like, just young and dumb, I'll win. That's amazing. I don't think age is a prerequisite for darts. I think you can be any age and be
Boris
good at
Becker
it.
Won Wimbledon when he was 16.
Right.
More power to the kid.
17.
Was he 17 when he won?
Yep.
Well, still, that's pretty young.
Mm-hmm. Michael with the red pen. Great.
I know. He's Mr. Grump to us.
Yes. I'm correcting you. Yeah. How's that grumpy?
He's 16. No, he's 17.
Do you guys have dart skills or a bar games, you know, pool, darts, anything that you're, you know, a shark at?
I'll be happy to compete against you. I don't think I'll win. Okay. I'm not any good.
I've played darts. I mean, I don't think I'm particularly good at it.
I like to play lawn darts around kids.
Oh, jarts. We call those jarts.
Lawn darts. Why around
kids?
Don't
we call those jarts?
You want to throw them at the kids? What's wrong with you?
See if they can dodge them.
Dodge the lawn darts? You're not grumpy.
Yeah.
No.
Kids, lawn darts. My God.
It toughens them up.
Yeah.
What's up, fool?
Yeah, I saw John sent the story in today, too, but I saw it last night about Mason Rudolph pulling a Ricky Bobby and signing a baby.
Yep.
And when I first saw the headline, I was like, oh, no, he signed, like, the forehead or the baby's skin. But he just signed the back of a baby's jersey. But it's still kind of...
Oh, it was only the jersey?
It was only the jersey, yeah. But my question, like, John posed a good question. Is this, like, child abuse kind of a thing? Or how do you feel about this?
Well, how about this, Michael? If somebody walked up to you with their baby and said, I want you to sign my baby,
right,
would you do it?
Yeah, because it's going to rub off. It's not permanent.
Yeah, with a Sharpie? Just, is a Sharpie permanent?
It'll come off.
Weird thing.
Yeah, I would not sign the baby.
No,
I would ask to...
Don't bring
your
baby to our next
I
remote.
Go, is there... But maybe as a compromise, Brian, I would sign a baby's shirt. Like a back of a jersey.
Right, see, that's different than actually physically signing a baby.
Have you guys never got Sharpie on your skin? Doesn't it rush off?
It does rush off, but still.
It should be weird. I don't want to sign a baby. Greg, what do you think?
If a parent is okay with it, it's totally fine.
It's cute.
There's people that get signed on their skin all the time.
By the way, you know what?
There's nothing wrong with it.
All right, so Michael, you would sign a baby. I've seen this happen before. A girl walks up to you, and she pulls her shirt down a little bit and asks you to sign the top of her boob. Would you do that?
No, I wouldn't do that.
You know who did that a lot? Harry Carey. I'm telling you, when I remember being at Ho-Ho Cam Park and a line of women looking to get their boobs signed by Harry Carey.
If the moon was made of spare ribs, would you eat it?
Yeah, that is a good question. I don't think I would sign the
baby. I'm not signing a baby.
I'm uncomfortable signing
a
baby.
We're doing a show on the 15th.
We're at Ralph's on the 15th.
Ralph's on the 15th.
And in Redondo. And by the way, that's a huge Ralph's, so all you guys should come.
Yeah,
you should come out in mass.
It's BYOB. Bring your own baby.
And if you have one, I'll have Sasha sign your baby.
There you go.
Sasha Vujicic and Derek Fisher are going to be at that remote.
Yes.
I will not sign
They're
any baby.
They're the signatures
would you,
sign you
want
the on your baby.
Would what? You sign the boob?
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'd sign the boob.
What's
not,
up, fool?
Michael, I'm 60. I'm not saying no to boobs.
What's up, fool?
Nice to say. All right. Well, there's a new California law that's, you know, went in place yesterday.
Yeah.
Where cops pull you over, they can no longer ask you, do you know why I pulled you over?
Why?
They have to instead state why they pulled you over first.
Why?
Interesting.
What, do you know why they changed that?
I don't know why exactly they did change it, but it just went into place, you know, beginning of this year.
That's tricky.
That makes no sense.
But did you? I never liked the question that when a cop pulls you over,
do
you know why?
I know the exact answer. Yeah. The answer you should give is, I don't know, officer. I was following the flow of traffic.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good line. Now, instead, they're going to say you were going 80 instead of, do you know what you were doing?
Right, but I feel like the question before was a little more of a...
Entrapment?
Entrapment.
Yeah, do you know what you're doing? Oh, I was driving 80. Yeah, you gotta wiggle your way around that. I don't know what the meaning of the new law would be.
That makes no sense.
No, they pull over, they tell you what you did right off the
bat. If I'm getting this is like what we were talking about earlier, if you're getting fired. If I'm getting the ticket, I really don't care what the guy says.
When was the last time you got a ticket?
I've talked my way out of 3 in a row.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah. I talked my way out of one.
What do you mean, like, how? Do you know who I am?
No. You haven't heard my thing?
No, what?
The minute I get pulled over, I kill them with kindness. Mm-hmm. Like, go out of my way.
Yep.
Like, I roll the window down and I go, officer, I'm so sorry. Did I roll that stop sign? I go, I wasn't paying attention. It's totally my fault. Mm-hmm. I'd appreciate a break if you can give me one, but I totally understand if you can't. And almost every time he'll go ahead.
Yeah, I got pulled over last year after one
DWB?
Because it was so dark, you couldn't tell if I was black or white.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it was like, we got home like 2 in the morning, right?
Yep.
I'm going down the 5, down by San Clemente, nobody on the highway. Mm. It is empty, it is black, there's no one around, I'm doing 85.
Yep.
Cop comes out of nowhere, and lights come on behind me.
Yeah.
Was this guy a jerk? Because it wasn't like I was endangering anyone.
And
there was 85.
No one near you.
Nobody else on the highway. And he pulled me over and gave me a ticket. See, now, I was nice about it.
I think there's a magic. I think the magic number is
79.
79.
Yeah.
And if I was you doing stay 85. 1 mile below 80. 85, I think, is ticketable.
But Mace, there was nobody else on the freeway. Nobody.
Definitionally, were you breaking the law?
Yes.
Yes.
But shouldn't he just have let me go? Yeah. I wasn't endangering anybody.
Set your cruise control to 79. You won't ever get in trouble.
I was nice about it. I knew I was speeding, but I didn't think I was.
Yeah, it's tough to talk your way out of 85.
By the way, the one place you can speed your ass off is on the 10 heading out to Palm Springs. It is. There are guys driving 110 miles an hour on that stretch, and nobody gets pulled over. But when was your last ticket, Brian?
Probably like 5 years ago.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Rolling a California roll.
Oh, California.
It was
stop.
Actually right after I got out of a TV job, the police station right next to the TV station.
Oh.
You know, pulling guys like it's like 1 in the morning. Where are you coming from? Oh, I'm coming from work. TV station. Oh, I was just on TV 2 days ago. I thought, oh, he's going to let me go.
Yeah.
Nope. Still gave me a
ticket. So you did a California stop.
A California roll at a stop sign.
California roll at a stop sign.
And he gave me a ticket for it.
By the police station, you did it.
Right. Well, I mean, it was
why would you break the law right by the police station?
I did it 100 times. I was getting off work. It's 1 in the morning. There's nobody out there. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I know. That's being Barney Fife.
Is that it?
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's it?
Michael?
I got one more.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Do one more.
All right,
this one's kind of, you know, good one for Michael, too. But I don't know if you guys heard that Joker was on Michael Porter's podcast, and he said, when I finish my career, I really wish nobody knows me, and I wish my kids remember me as a dad rather than an NBA player.
Yeah, he doesn't like being famous.
Right. But, you know, this is for Michael especially here, how possible is that to, you know, disassociate, oh, I'm an NBA player rather than just dad?
For Jokic, probably none.
It is great for people to remember you as a player. I mean, it's like paid attention to your career, and they actually cared about it and showed some interest in it. So I don't know why he would have that
attitude.
But it
sounds like he doesn't want to be famous.
Well, right, give all the money back and retire. How about that?
No, but I mean, maybe back in his home country, he's not.
Who, Jokic?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a god back there.
Is he? So is he swarmed everywhere he goes?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and plus, he's 7 feet tall, so he can't, like, sneak into a room.
In the end, I remember what he said at the parade.
You know that I told that I don't want to stay on parade, but I want to stay on parade. This is the best.
Complains about being rich and famous.
So he is
back.
So he is enjoying it a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
All right. Coming up next, Michael claims that there is a person that is pound for pound the best basketball player around. Mm-hmm. And you will be shocked at who he says that is. It's not Jokic, by the way.
Not Jokic.
Right.
Pound for pound.
Somebody else.
Okay, we will do that coming up next. In the meantime, let me tell you about my friend Jacob Imrani. So if you are involved in any kind of accident, car accident, motorcycle accident, it is a accident in a rideshare, an Uber, a Lyft, whatever that happens to be. You want an expert. You want an expert who's been doing this for 20 years. You want an expert who's been doing this for 20 years in Los Angeles. By the way, rideshare accidents, Jacob Imrani has been doing these cases long before anybody else. First in the country to do rideshare accidents. And it's really complicated because they've got insurance and then the Uber Lyft has insurance and you've got to work through all that. And you don't want to talk to the insurance company yourself. Let Jacob do that. Remember, accident, injury, you want Jacob. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident. Or injury, call Jacob Imrani. Call Jacob.
CallJacob.com. Don't forget, follow him on Instagram at call.jacob. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I like that one sentence that I didn't even finish. I'm getting so lazy I didn't even finish that sentence.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't even bother.
All right. Last night there was a shot heard round the world.
Yeah, this was cool.
All right. This was,
by the way, it was the first thing they let off on Get Up With. It was really cool.
All right. This was in the Big Ten. Iowa, Michigan State, women's basketball, game tied at 73. 3 seconds left. They go to Caitlin Clark.
Davis, time winding down. Are they going to get the ball? Up in time, Clark for the win!
This is what Caitlin Clark does, folks. Logo threes. It's her signature. That is the most Caitlin Clark way to win a game.
So Caitlin Clark hits a 30-footer to beat Michigan State at the buzzer. And, Michael, you said something that actually surprised me about Caitlin Clark, which is what?
I've been watching her since her freshman year. Pound for pound, male or female, she is the best player in America. Pound for pound.
Pound for pound.
Pound for pound.
So
you're measuring against everybody in the NBA?
Everybody.
But like a boxer.
You know, like Floyd Mayweather can never beat
her. He has more respect for her skills than anybody else.
I'll go even further. She is the best women's player I've ever seen.
Really?
And I've seen Cheryl Miller, because I follow women's basketball. You guys
too.
I've seen Cheryl Miller. I've seen Lisa Leslie. I've seen Maya Moore. I've seen them all. Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, she can do it all. She's the best shooter I've ever seen.
Right.
She handles the ball like she's Kyrie Irving. She passes like she's Steve Nash. She can rebound. She can defend. She's the best I've ever seen.
All right.
And the Indiana Fever should be begging her to come out.
Talking about Caitlin Clark is the first time I've seen Michael Thompson in a good mood today.
There you go.
I love her. Yeah. I look for when she's on TV. She is so much fun to watch.
You guys, you know, Michael mentioned the Indiana Fever have the number one pick in the upcoming draft. You know, as the number two pick, Sparks.
Oh, Sparks.
It came down to those
two. They just missed landing. But wait, she'd be such a star here.
But she has another year of eligibility. She doesn't have to come out.
Now, what happens? Will they?
Nope. They go back. She goes back in the draft.
She goes back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you can't. It's not like the
Larry Bird thing.
Larry Bird thing.
Yeah. They can't do that anymore. They made a rule against
that. She makes so much money in NIL, she doesn't need the WNBA.
Yeah, I believe it.
So this is an election year.
Is it?
And yes, 2024.
Who's getting elected?
Well, we're electing everything. Presidents, senators.
Okay,
and
I had no idea.
One of the people running for president is Nikki Haley on the Republican ticket.
Yes.
So Nikki Haley was, they're all campaigning in Iowa.
Yes.
So she did something that a lot of politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
She tried to latch on to the hot sports team in that region.
Pandered.
Correct. And so she was standing up and she wanted to mention Caitlin Clark, but she said this instead.
So we're super excited to see the Lady Hawkeyes play. What a team they are. What a great coach they have. Caitlin Collins is phenomenal, but good, strong women, so we're excited to see that.
Oh. Okay. She calls her Caitlin Collins, which in
Who's
Nikki Haley's
CNN?
Defense is an anchor at
anchor
CNN.
At CNN.
But
yeah.
It got me to thinking, if you guys were a campaign manager, regardless of party or anything or what the office is, if you're a campaign manager, would you encourage your candidate to pander to a sports team or avoid it specifically to avoid what we just heard? What would you do?
That was so fake and phony. Don't even mention it. She made two mistakes. She called it by the wrong name, and she also called the team by the wrong name. They're not the Lady Hawkeyes. They're just the Hawkeyes.
Right. Yeah, she screwed it up. Now, I do get why she. It's the Iowa caucus, right?
Right.
Which is a thing coming up in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And she was appearing with the team at this rally. So
she went to the game.
She went to the game, but
still got it wrong.
Don't act like you know when you don't know.
Right.
You see right through that phoniness.
Yeah.
I know when, you know, I'm a big West Wing fan. So one year Jimmy Smits was running for president.
Yep.
And they put as a storyline, there was this huge Monday night game between the Giants and the Redskins at the time, before they were the Commanders. And everywhere he went on the campaign trail, they would say, you know, Governor Santos, what do you think of, I don't think he was a governor, but, you know, what do you think of the big game? And he would always say this exact line. He goes, New York, Washington, two great teams, should be an awesome game. and he just moved on to the next thing. And would like didn't align, didn't pick a winner. Didn't Hillary get in trouble when she was running for senator in New
Hillary
York?
I think Hillary was one of those people who, wherever she went, she would wear the ball cap for the local team.
Well, yeah, right. She,
I'm in New York, give me a Yankees. I'm in Chicago, give me a Yankees.
Well, no, she was guilty of that because somebody, she was in like Illinois the day before, and she was talking about how she grew up a Cubs fan.
Yes.
And then she went to New York, and they said, Mets or Yankees? She goes, oh, I've been rooting for the Yankees since I was like a little kid.
Yeah.
So I would, if I was a
People see through that. Oh, unless it's genuine.
No, Michael hit the right word. It's pandering. If I was a campaign manager, I would go, look, either if you're a legitimate fan of a team, like Barack Obama was a fan of the Chicago Bulls, and he owned it. He even said when the Lakers came to the White House, I'm a Bulls fan, but I respect what you guys did. I wouldn't try and do what she did.
See, in the case, she's a professional politician.
Right.
She was the UN ambassador.
She was the governor of South Carolina.
Are you telling me she can't keep that name straight in her head?
Well, she just screwed up. But,
yeah, but I mean, here you are with those players. Yeah, right. To get it wrong is just a total screw-up.
Definitely.
Yeah, she's out. I don't think she's going to win anything.
No.
You think she's going to win anything?
Nah.
Not after this. The Caitlin.
No, this isn't the
Caitlin
reason
Clark
why.
Incident. No, the Caitlin Clark incident is what eliminates intention.
It helped Caitlin Collins out a little bit.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it gave her a little.
All right, so Pepe's blowing us off.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. You said he would have a good chance to win this
game,
right?
Him and Laura had a good chance, and I'll change my game up.
So many people, by the way, in the Mason and Ireland Mafia. Here's Grisa. There's a drop. Quote, I'm 60, I don't say no to booze.
Exactly.
Which is such a funny line.
Well, I mean, it's also has the added benefit of being true.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Drea says, Cheetos are chips. Hot Cheetos are my favorite chips. A puff is a chip, says Jackie
Diaz.
No, it's not. A puff is a puff and a chip is a chip. Cisco Rock says,
a Cheeto is a Cheeto. It's his own entity.
Yeah.
Cisco Rocks has it right. Cheetos are a corn puff.
They're
not a chip.
Now, does it matter that there are Cheetos puffs that are not just regular Cheetos? They have actual puffs.
But what's the difference between a Cheeto puff and a Cheeto?
It's more airy. There's like a lot of more air in it.
So it's just more of a puff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's puffed out.
It's a bigger puff.
It's puffier.
It's puffier.
It's called actual puff.
So there's a puff and then there's the
Cheeto.
Extra puff.
And Mace knows about puffs.
Yes, I do, Michael. Very good. All right, coming up next for you, Game of Games, it is Michael Thompson's game today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a big cryotherapy user. For people who haven't done it, cryo is for active people, especially people over the age of 35. That's because inflammation in your joints and muscles is a big problem. The only way to treat that is to use ice. For years, I went to cryotherapy places and paid $50-75 a shot. You go into a freezing chamber for 3 minutes. You're sore when you go in. Your soreness is gone when you come out. It lasts about a day, maybe two. Then you have to repeat the process. When I was going regularly, I was going 4 times a week, dropping around $200 a week. IceBod Active, and I want you to remember that name and that website, icebodactive.com, has created wearable cryotherapy. So you purchase an IceBod device for wherever your areas that you want to treat. The one I had... I have a shirt that treats my back, my upper shoulders, my elbows. It's great. One of the reasons it's a great idea is it saves me time and money. Instead of me dropping $200 a week on multiple cryo sessions, I use this, put this on for 20 minutes, and I'm feeling better as soon as I take it off. Go to that website, icebodactive.com. Anybody who has bad knees, bad elbows, bad hips will tell you that ice is a game changer. Once you try IceBod Active and their wearable cryotherapy, these are compression shirts. You put ice pack gels into the shirts. You put them on for 20 minutes, and I feel better every time I use them. Anybody who's sore will tell you that ice is what matters, and IceBod Active has found a better way to ice. Check it out today. Go to that website. You'll see Hall of Famer James Worthy on there. You'll see a testimonial from a doctor. It'll answer all your questions. IceBod Active, icebodactive.com.
All right, here we go in his Game of Games time. We welcome to the show the great Pepe Mantilla. Pepe, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Where you been? Happy New Year to all of you guys.
Pepe, we have a very important question before we get to Game of Games
very
that we
important.
Need you to weigh in on.
Yes.
All right? I want you to treat this seriously. All right?
Oh, God.
Cheetos.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Are they a chip?
No, they're not.
They're a puff.
That's the right answer.
Yeah, they're a puff.
Brian.
Then yeah, next you guys are wrong.
Thing they're going to say you. Is that popcorn is a cheat.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
It's different.
Yeah.
No, you've been defeated, Brian.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
Put up a
the
poll.
The whole room is again. Put up a poll.
Yeah. All right, Michael Thompson has the game today. Mike, what do you got?
This game is heavily weighted towards Pepe today. If Pepe doesn't win today's game, then he has to turn in his brown card and he can't shop at Olvera Street anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So today's game is about something we all love. Mm-hmm. Tacos.
Tacos.
Okay.
Some multiple choice, some buzz in.
Okay.
All right.
According to NationalTacoDay.com, around half of America visits which taco fast food brand once every 11 days? Taco Bell, Taco Time, or Del Taco?
Brian.
What was the first part of the question? I'm sorry.
Which taco place gets visited
once every 11
once
days?
Once every 11 days.
By half
Taco
of America.
Bell, Taco Time, or Del Taco?
I'm going to go Del Taco.
Okay, Greg.
Del Taco.
Mace.
It's got to be Taco Bell.
I'm also going Taco Bell. Pepe.
I think it's Del Taco.
What is it, Mike?
It is Taco Bell.
Yeah. Boom. Mason on the board, Ireland on the board.
Which taco chain, because it was in a Hispanic neighborhood, Pepe, started as a hamburger stand but switched to tacos? Taco Time, Del Taco, or Taco Bell?
Greg.
I'm going to say Del Taco.
Mace.
Del Taco.
I also think Del Taco. Pepe.
Del Taco.
Brian.
I'll take Del Taco again here.
Are we right, Michael?
Del Taco Bell.
Yeah. Oh, Taco Bell
Taco
did.
Bell.
We all missed it.
Del Taco has a hamburger still.
But that
is old bacon Del.
But, hey, but his point don't is, question yeah. Michael's yeah. ethics.
Exactly. Taco Bell started. Opened as a hamburger yeah. stand.
Yeah. All right.
Everybody guesses here. Pepe, you better know this one.
Oh, the is biggest, this a buzz in or no?
Everybody,
no, everybody gets a guess.
The biggest taco ever made was constructed in 2011 in Conterrano. I think I said it. How do you say it? Conterrano, Mexico? How do you say it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Katera, yeah. Anyway.
It's in Mexico.
Yeah. Closest to the number in feet. How long was the taco?
Okay.
Everybody right. guesses.
Mace.
14 feet.
I'm going to say 173 feet.
Really?
Yeah. Pepe.
200.
200 feet. Brian.
Let's go 30 feet.
Greg.
I'm going to go in the middle around here and say 100 feet.
All right, Michael, what's the answer?
246 feet.
Wow.
Pepe Montilla. Ah,
yes. Pepe!
All right, so the score is Mason 1, Ireland 1, Pepe 1, and Michael, you're up.
Multiple choice here. National Taco Day takes place in which month of the year? August, September, or October?
All right, this one's me. I'm going to say September. Pepe.
It's September.
Brian.
September.
Greg.
September.
Mace.
Pepe said it with so much confidence. I'll go September.
It is October.
Oh, Pepe, you steered us wrong. You said it with so much confidence.
He did.
Said, multiple is. Choice here. And right. Pepe, you better get this one right.
Oh, okay. Boy, Pepe.
Mexico's National Taco Day, Dia del Taco, is in which month? March, April, or May?
Pepe.
May.
Brian.
Going opposite. I'm going to go March.
Greg.
I like May.
Mace.
I'm sticking with Pepe. May.
I am too. May.
It is March.
Oh! Oh, Brian's on the board.
Trust him. Two
Pepe,
times
what kind of Mexican are you?
Yeah, you've missed the big question.
You've been living in America too long. Yeah.
All right, by the way, this is very close. Everybody has one except Brian or a Greg who doesn't have any.
Multiple choice here. The word taco means what? Quick lunch, light lunch, or easy lunch?
Brian.
Let's go easy lunch.
Greg.
Was the first one?
Quick lunch, light
quick
lunch, or easy lunch?
Quick lunch.
All right. Mace.
I'll go easy lunch.
I'll go light lunch. Pepe.
Well, can you repeat it?
Quick, light, or easy lunch?
Quick.
It is light lunch.
Boom!
Oh,
Ireland takes the lead.
Yeah,
it's
not light.
Multiple choice. Taco trucks are everywhere, thank God. The first taco truck was in which city? L.A., San Antonio, or New York?
Greg.
San Antonio.
Mace.
New York.
I'll go L.A. Pepe.
L.A.
Brian.
L.A.
It is New York.
Yeah.
Just you?
Just me.
Okay, Mason has tied me for the lead.
Multiple choice. It was 1905 when tacos made their way into America. Which city introduced the taco to America? Houston, San Antonio, or San Diego?
Greg, this one's you.
San Diego.
Mace.
I will say Houston.
I'll go San Antonio. Pepe.
I have to go with San Antonio.
Brian.
San Diego.
It is San Antonio.
Pepe and I are on the board. Man, I got the lead again.
I still don't have one.
Yes, you're.
No, I want to get them all wrong.
You're
now.
Terrible at that. You're right. You're going for the. Yeah.
You're going for the Curtis.
Sweep, the Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Multiple choice and Pepe, Mexican pressures on you again. Oh. According to Mexican tradition, which kind of taco is meant to be eaten at lunch? Seafood taco, chicken taco, or carnitas taco?
Mace.
I'll go carnitas.
I will also go carnitas, Pepe.
I want to say seafood.
Okay, Brian.
Let's go seafood.
Greg.
Chicken.
It is seafood.
Oh, Pepe yes. is tied nice. For the lead. Brian, you are one back. Craig, you're still scoring.
That's
everybody,
right.
Good job. Where everybody, am I? Am I not on the board?
You have two.
Oh,
you're one off of the lead. All you right, and good. Brian both have two.
Excellent. Everybody guesses here. True or false? UCLA offers a course called Taco Literacy, which explores the history and influence of Mexican food in the U.S. True or false?
Well, this one's me, and I can tell you they did not offer it when I was there. But this,
or you'd have been in the class.
Yes, 100%. But I think it's too weird for Michael to have made up, so I'm going to say true.
Yeah.
Pepe.
True.
Brian.
I'm going to go true as well.
Greg.
False.
Mace.
I have a friend who's majoring in tacos at UCLA. I will Liar. Say... I will say it's true.
It is false.
No! Oh,
not UCLA, but Kentucky offers that class.
Oh,
okay, so here's the
score. Right.
Here's the score. Ireland 3, Pepe 3, Mace 2, Brian 2, Greg 1. How many you have left?
About 4 or 5.
Okay.
Multiple.
I wonder where you get this weird information.
Tacos.com.
I'm part Mexican. I know this stuff. You should taste my guacamole. That got to be part Mexican. Multiple choice. In the 18th
right,
century.
Doing four more.
Four more. Okay.
In the 18th century, Mexicans originated the taco in which industry, Pepe? Fishing, farming, or mining?
Pepe, this one's you.
In what century?
In the 18th century.
Mining,
he says. Brian.
Let's go fishing.
Greg.
Fishing.
Mace.
Mining sounds very 18th century.
I'm going to go farming. What is it, Michael?
It is mining.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pepe has the lead. Mace, you've tied me, and three more.
Okay.
Buzz in if you know.
Okay.
He isn't Mexican, but his name is Taco.
Mason. Who is Taco Fall?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, very nice good, Mace. You've tied Pepe for the lead.
I think I'm out.
And there are two more. You are out.
Okay, bye-bye.
Multiple choice, like I said. Taco Fall ain't Mexican. He's from Africa, but which country in Africa? Sudan? Senegal or Kenya?
Mace.
Sudan.
Pepe.
Sudan.
Do I want to take my shot here? I think I do. I'm going Senegal. Brian.
Trying to make up. Let's go Kenya.
It is Senegal.
Boom.
Oh,
all right.
Iron.
Brian, you're out, and this decides it. It is a... Do you have two left, Michael? Because we need...
Left.
Or a tiebreaker?
Yep.
All right. So right now, it is Mason 4... Ireland 4, Pepe 4. This is for the game.
Well, wait, it is 2, right?
No,
it's not worth 2.
There's one left.
Yeah.
So if one of us were to give an answer and win this question outright, we win the game.
Win the game.
Who's going to be first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, okay.
Multiple choice. According to Forbes, which city is the taco capital of the U.S. because it has over 450 taquerias? St. Louis, Albuquerque, or Kansas City?
Okay. I'm going to go Albuquerque. Pepe.
I have to say something different?
No, you don't have to.
You go with whatever you think the answer is.
Albuquerque.
I do think it's Albuquerque also.
It is Kansas City.
We all missed our shot. So do you have another one where we could guess a number?
Yeah.
Okay, this is for the game.
Everybody guesses right here. Get some right with. Yeah, guess something to write with. Everybody got a pen? Got a pen? Pepe, you need a piece of paper?
Okay. All right, here we go.
All right. This is the tiebreaker anyway. According to NationalTacoDay.com, Americans eat how many tacos every year, Laura?
No, don't. No hints, Laura. Okay, so how many tacos?
Does Americans eat every year, according to NationalTacoDay.com?
Okay. Americans. So there's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, I've got a number written down.
Okay, I'm going to say, all right, Mace, Pepe, you got something written down?
Yeah.
All right, what'd you write down, Mace?
6.5 million?
I said 512 million. Pepe, would you
That's
write?
That's probably close.
40 million. What's the right answer, Michael?
We are a greedy nation. 4.5 billion.
Boom!
4.5 billion?
Tacos Americans eat a year.
You are with a B?
With a B.
I was 512 million. I was super short, but you guys weren't even close.
6.5 million? What was I thinking?
That's why I'm not just in LA alone.
I was afraid to go a billion because it sounded too many.
I thought 40 million was a lot.
No, man. Yeah. 4.5 billion.
4.5 billion.
Bergman, give me my point.
This is the second game that I end up losing. And the last question. I love
Okay, here's a fun one.
Okay.
Everybody guesses here.
Okay.
Laura, you can guess too. As we know, tacos are cheap, but in Vegas, there is a resort that sells a taco that has gold in it. Mm. And it's only for the resort's presidential suite guests. Everybody guesses, how much is this gold-infused taco at this resort in Vegas?
One gold-infused taco?
Yep.
All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
$2,500.
Mm-hmm.
Mace?
$5,000.
Pepe? $3,000.
Greg?
$10,000.
Brian?
$1,500.
What do you think, Laura?
Laura?
I'll do $13,000.
All right, what's the answer, Michael?
$25,000.
My God, that's stupid.
Greg, that's you.
That is stupid.
Laura said $13,000.
A golden
Who would order a... How much?
$25,000.
$25,000 taco?
Yep.
Man, can you imagine having so much money? You say, I'll have the gold taco.
Why not?
Yeah, give me two of those gold tacos
just
for
split
dinner.
It. Split it with your wife. She's 12,000 a piece.
We're going to split a gold taco.
12,500 a piece.
Hey, Mace, you want a taco?
Yeah,
with me.
Let's go in on it together.
Wow.
Pepe, you failed miserably.
Yeah.
Turn in your brown card.
He was right in until the end. He beat me. I'm the king, and he beat me.
How could you let the whitest man in the room beat you?
He is the whitest man in the room.
That was numbers.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know if Shadano's going to be along soon. We're going to do some.
Yeah, he said he was going to be a little behind. You can start with Pepe.
Super crosstalk. Woo, 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 woo. Got a little breaking news. This Friday, here on 710, it's a BB Go Ticket Friday. Listen all day during our 9-hour LA Sports Mega Block for your chance to win BB Go prize packs with a chance to score Lakers Clippers tickets. That's BB Go Ticket Friday this Friday on 710. Listen all day. BB Go is the official game day snack of the Los Angeles Lakers.
And Lakers Clippers, by the way, is Sunday at 6:30.
It's a Lakers home game?
Correct.
Yes.
So for the next three games, we have Miami tonight.
Yep.
Ja Morant and Memphis on Friday. And then Lakers Clippers. By the way, have you guys been paying attention to the Clippers?
Yeah.
They told y'all.
They won.
You poo-pooed it.
I'm still going to poo-poo.
They won. I'm not.
Yeah,
I think they can win the West. They've won 12 out of 14 games.
Hey, let me ask you guys something about Miami. So at number 17, the Lakers selected Jalen Hood-Schifino.
Right.
At number 18, Jaime Jaquez was drafted by the Miami Heat.
Yep.
Didn't the Lakers blow this pick?
Not only maybe did the Lakers miss out, but if you redid that draft, I think Jaime Jaquez goes second or third.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's been that good.
Wow.
His game.
By the way, did you see what he said?
No.
He did not want to play in L.A. He was glad to be in Miami. Why did he say that?
Huh. Maybe all his friends are here and he would have to, you know.
I mean, a Mexican-American in this market? Imagine how huge he would
be. Let me defend the Lakers pick a little bit. Not just the Lakers, but a lot of the picks that came before that.
Yeah.
What worked against Jaquez is that he was a four-year player at UCLA.
What?
If you study the draft, very few four-year
really?
Players
is that
are
right?
going in the lottery anymore.
Well, you know, it's really hard to say anything. I'm going to tell you why. Ginobili was number 40.
No, he was number 57.
57?
Yeah.
I thought he was 40.
No, Tony Anyways. Parker was 30.
Okay,
yeah.
So, I mean, Giannis.
Kawhi Leonard, 16.
There you go.
Giannis, 14.
Kobe
14.
If you redid the draft the way things are going, what we see now, he would go third behind Brandon Miller, probably.
Yeah,
or maybe fourth behind Scoot Henderson.
I would think about taking him in front of Scoot. But here's the thing with Brandon Miller and Scoot and Wemby.
I like Miller a lot, too.
All those guys, I'll use Miller for an example. 1 year of college.
Yeah.
Jalen right. Hood-Schifino, 1 year of college. So what you're trying to figure out, if you're a GM, is do I take a guy based on potential that could pop later?
Right.
Or do I take a four-year player? The last four-year player
I can think of that made a huge all-star level impact was Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
He played 4 years of college. But very rarely do you, I watched Jaime Jaquez play almost, so did Greg. We watched him play 100 college games.
Yeah.
The kid's just nails. He doesn't have a weakness.
Right. Well, I'm looking at a Yahoo article. Heat rookie Jaime Jaquez Jr. proving four-year college players can impact the NBA immediately. Mm-hmm. Heat say he had a different kind of path that we respect.
See, John's right, though. John's right. It's because he was there for 4 years.
It worked against him.
Yes, it absolutely did. But he had great footwork. He's good defensively. He had a really good shot. And he's figured out his three-point shot. It was a mistake.
Michael, by the way, I think this worked against Clay. Clay was at Washington State, all right? Pac-12 school, but not an elite Pac-12 school.
Yes,
Pac-12 player of the year. Went to college for 3 years, right?
Yeah. He was number 11.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that had Clay come out after his freshman year, he would have been number five. Yeah. You know?
No, because they thought he was too skinny and needed to develop.
Michael, I mean, when did Jax said that he doesn't like to play?
Jaquez.
I was reading, I saw something, he was in town because they were practicing at UCLA, and he said he was glad that he didn't get drafted here, and he's in Miami.
I think
he plays for Miami. I mean, what is he going to say?
But still.
There are three other four-year players that went in the first round this year. These are not guys I know. Houston, Marcus Sasser.
Yeah, he played for the University of Houston, is an excellent defensive player, and I think is going to be a good NBA player.
Belmont's Ben Shepherd goes number 26 to the Indiana Pacers. Ever hear of him?
Michael and I did a Pacers game in the IST final, and he didn't play.
And the Clippers chose Kobe Brown from Missouri at number 30.
He's playing. Kobe Brown's playing.
The Heat offered Jaquez and Tyler Hero and a couple of picks for Damian Lillard, and the Blazers turned that down. What a dumb idea that was, huh?
The Blazers ended up making out okay. I mean, the Blazers ended up getting DeAndre Ayton, and they ended up getting
Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, they got a couple other people. The Blazers did fine. But there is this weird stigma about guys that go to college for 4 years. And the stigma is, well, that player has peaked. That's
right.
He's reached his ceiling. Whereas guys who have only gone for 1 year – you can develop.
Yeah.
So if you're a Laker fan, what you're hoping is that Jalen Hood-Schifino,
Mr. Miami, he could tell us about Jaime Hawkins.
Plays 1 year at Miami, or 1 year at Indiana.
Yep.
Develops into Jaime Jaquez. But Jaime Jaquez was NBA ready the minute he left
UCLA. So Donald, is Jaquez now considered kind of like an untouchable for Miami if you call them for a trade?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Sedano says he's wiggling his chair into space. By the way, I want to point out today, double the mace. I am filling in for Cappy today with Shadano, who's going to. Yeah, by the way, I'm here till 5:30, I think, today, and you're going to do 5 to 5:30.
Yeah, I'm just working here, so I'll do 5.
Yeah. Sedano's he's setting up here next to Pepe.
Yeah, yeah.
Shadano
is styling today, too. He's got
You're working the Laker Heat game tonight, right?
Yeah, and I'm doing the Memphis game, too.
Is Pat
on
Riley
Friday.
In town?
Yeah.
Pat Riley in town?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, he's at the house in Malibu.
I'm scared.
I actually have a funny thing for you. Because you've worked TV games before.
Right.
How quickly, because I was sitting there watching the Sugar Bowl with Kelly, how quickly did you notice the lady flashing?
Right away.
Me too.
Yeah.
Immediately. I looked at the bottom of the screen. I go, oh my God, that lady just flashed.
Here's what George is talking about. And I don't know how somebody at ESPN didn't get it. Whenever we go into a city, mm-hmm. we either ask for and the other team gives them to us, or we send somebody out to shoot.
Crowd, B-roll.
The city. So somebody went out on New Year's Eve with a camera onto Bourbon Street and shot 30 to 45 seconds of fans celebrating. And you put a camera on Bourbon Street, people wave at you. And one of the people they were going by, a girl just dropped her top.
Whipped them out
for beads.
And apparently, so that has to go from the cameraman.
Yes.
To a truck who then puts it in a machine and watches it and then tells the director it's ready.
Yeah.
At least two people had to see that before it went, and nobody noticed it, and it went live on the air. And
ESPN, so I will say, I was watching the game and didn't notice it.
Oh, I noticed it immediately. I said to Kelly, look at the bottom right of the screen.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't notice it.
You watched it, yeah.
It's just boobs. What's the big deal?
I know. Yeah. Well, notice it didn't become a big deal.
Yeah.
But it was a thing that night on social media. People were talking about it.
Now,
like,
you
it
heard
hilarious.
That some porn companies offering, if they can find this lady, $100,000 for 1 hour on one of them cam things that they do. $100,000
I said, I don't think she'll do it. Laura said she would never do it. Mason thinks most women would do it.
She showed her boobs on Bourbon Street.
What's the difference?
For an extra $100,000 on a live cam, people got to pay for?
Yeah.
I'd do it if I were her.
$100,000, man.
Would you show your junk on TV?
If somebody was going to pay me that much money and I had already shown it on TV?
Yeah, if it was already out there. George makes a good point. She's already out there.
Yeah, once it's out there, it's over.
So you might as well.
Maybe she doesn't know yet.
Pepe, would you recommend she do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You?
Would you let Liz do it?
Yeah.
Don't involve Liz in this.
You hypocrite.
Well, first of all, Pepe doesn't let Liz do anything. Liz decides what Liz is going to do.
Yeah, does she run the show, Pepe? Does Liz run the show?
Oh, come on. You're El Jefe. Come on, telephone.
You know what, you guys?
Hmm.
It's none of your business.
Everything is our business.
Yeah.
You walked into this studio everything is fair game.
Wait. Nobody asked. Who runs the show in your house? Or
yes.
No,
that's what you run the show.
I'll tell you right now, Lisa runs the show
in
our house.
Yeah. Same thing with
Juan. Juan runs the show.
Yeah. I run my show.
Julie
runs everything and lets Michael think he runs the show.
Liz runs the show.
When I was at your house, it seemed like Julie was running that part.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You were just like out putting on the putting green, and she's running around making sure everybody's got what they want.
Yeah. It's Liz.
You don't run anything.
It's Liz. No.
Please stop.
How about you?
I let her think.
Oh, my wife definitely runs.
Okay. Yeah.
John's met her. She definitely runs.
Lisa runs, right?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I literally.
You guys are soft.
I don't know.
Soft.
Wait a minute. While Julie is running your life, you're calling everybody else soft.
You're the crazy one. You're not going to sign a baby, but you will sign a boob.
No.
That's me. That's I will not sign a baby, but I'll sign a boob. George, if a girl walks up to you and says, sign my baby.
On the thigh or something like that.
This
Sharpie.
This happened to the quarterback of the Steelers, Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph, yeah.
A woman walked up with a baby and said, gave him a Sharpie and said, sign the baby.
Yeah.
He did it. I wouldn't sign a baby.
No.
Would you sign, a girl walks up to you, drops her top a little bit, sign the top of her boob.
Sedano, let's
go. Yeah.
Let's roll.
George and I are the same.
Yeah. No. The baby, I'd feel weird about.
Me too.
No, the baby's
I wouldn't
want to
hurt the baby.
I'd feel way more weird. Yeah, because I feel like there's toxins in there, you know, like in a marker.
No, I don't want to. Yeah.
An adult, like, you're consenting.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I saw Harry Carey sign boob after boob after boob.
Good for Harry.
Yeah, no.
I wonder if Boog Shambi gets to sign boob after boob since he's the new Cubs guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Boog gets
I wonder if they come to him.
He would do it.
Yes, he would.
Pepe has no more morals left.
Yeah. By the way, to answer your question about Haquez, I believe he is untouchable.
Wow.
And it's funny because obviously on draft day, I didn't think they were going to draft him.
Right.
Not because I didn't think he was good, but because of the duplication in particularly guys like Hero, et cetera.
Yeah.
I was like, but what I was told was, I asked them about it afterwards. They said, well, not that we're comparing him to Dwayne Wade, but we drafted Dwayne Wade after giving Eddie Jones a full max contract, and they played the same position. So it's not like stuff we haven't done in the past.
What you're talking about comes up in sports all the time, and it came up in the most famous missed draft pick ever.
Right.
So
the GM of the Blazers in the 80s was a guy named Stu Inman.
Should have listened to you.
And Stu Inman was friends with Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
And Bobby Knight called him and said, Stu, you got to take this Michael Jordan. I've had him on the Olympic team for 2 weeks. He's the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Stu said, we love him. He's great. But he plays the same position
as
Clyde Drexler, and we need a big man. So they take Sam Bowie. You fall into that trap all the time, and I'm glad the Heat didn't fall into it. Whereas you say, well, we've already got one of those. Let's take draft for need. You should always take the best player.
Yeah.
Second greatest draft miss in history in all sports.
What's
the first
one?
Isn't it obvious? Bill Russell. St. Louis had that pick.
Gave
it up.
No, but wait a minute. They sold that pick to Red
Auerbach.
He caught it. They needed money.
They needed money.
Yeah, it, well, it
yeah, they didn't
different.
Survive.
How's it different?
It is different because times were different, Michael.
Times
How
were different.
How many times have I said this to you? The draft was different back yes. then because they had the regional draft.
By the way,
the,
it's a great point.
Draft.
Michael, the reason Babe Ruth got traded from the Red Sox is the guy, the Red owner, Sox owner, wanted to finance a play called No, Nanette.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah.
You
and
didn't
then,
know that.
And,
no, I didn't know that part.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
but I knew about Bill Russell.
But Jaquez, already, not, and, you know, he's obviously, it's a little different here. The largest Hispanic contingent is Mexican.
Right.
And down there, it's like Cuban and South American, but mostly Cuban. But they love him already down there. Yeah. They've got him doing all sorts of Hispanic stuff. He's doing stuff in Spanish down there. I mean, he would have been
perfect for them.
A star Fox here, though. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. And he...
You'd have been like basketball's version of Fernando.
So I looked this up because I'm using it for the broadcast. Feel free to use it for yours. There has not been a rookie drafted by the Heat that has played more minutes than Jaime Jaquez other than Dwayne Wade.
That's
at
it.
This stage of his career.
Wow. Even back in their expansion years, huh? That's interesting.
Not even Glenn Rice. No, Glenn Rice didn't start there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Glenn Rice, Steve Smith, and Ronnie Cicely were the first.
I would have thought Cicely maybe, because I think Cicely started most of those games as a rookie.
He's averaging over 30 minutes a game.
Yeah. Good for him. He's got some injuries. Matter of fact, George, do you,
Jimmy may not play.
We've been told he's out.
Yeah. Oh, no. Then he's out.
But Caleb Martin didn't play against the Clippers.
No, he's been dealing with a bad leg.
Josh Richardson didn't play against the Clippers.
Yep.
I think that the Lakers may catch a break here tonight. But the Lakers, both D'Angelo Russell and Rui Hachimura are out for the Lakers.
But the Lakers also play much better at home, and the Heat are in the middle of this long road trip. Like, this should be a Lakers win.
Utah for
they did. They blew that game. Yeah, and this should be a Laker win today.
Yes,
we need it. That's for sure.
Need it bad.
I mean, you know, how about well, you and I can get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
All right, are you ready for like an hour and a half of Mason?
It's two hours of Mason.
2 hours.
2 hours of Mason.
Is your show? Why are you quitting early?
Because I got to do the game.
He's doing the game. So then
you can't do both?
I got to talk to Darvin and Spo.
Oh, what are they going to tell you?
They're going to tell me stuff that I can say on the air.
Like what?
By the way, if Spo retired today, he's only 53.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's in already, right?
Yeah. Two championships. Okay.
And he's like already in the top 15 or 20 in like all-time wins already.
Yeah, and I think in terms of wins with one franchise, he's top three.
He's got more than his boss.
Yeah.
At that franchise.
Well, yeah, there you go, see?
What?
More than his boss. Repeat that, please.
He's got more than his boss.
What do you mean his boss?
With that franchise.
Pat Riley's the boss. I know that. What's
no, but Eric Spoelstra's won more games as a coach of the Heat than Pat Riley
did. Because Riley only coached there for a few years.
Right. That's not true. Not a few years. A lot of years.
How many
years? He had two stints.
Right. He went 95 to 2003 and then coached again from 05, 06, the two seasons, 05 and 06. Right.
Michael,
so that's a lot.
When you see Pat Riley, do you go?
Yes, of course I bow to the knee.
Master.
Kiss the ring. Yeah. Yes.
Kiss the ring.
That's right.
He's afraid to speak.
He's usually got a
lawn. I don't make eye contact until he allows
Although
me.
Although I would say this. Back in the old days when
he's a really nice guy.
When Michael was on the Loose Cannons, I was shocked. They got Pat Riley to call in and sing Happy Birthday to Michael and Riley.
Oh, I believe it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but Michael, you may be the only player he's ever done that for.
He owed me that for leading them to two championships.
You would exactly. You would be very surprised at how grandfatherly he is these days.
Oh, I know.
He is so much more chill than he ever was previously.
Something happens when they
He's almost 80.
Happens when they have a grandkid and it's happened to Michael. All of a sudden the whole world it's about the grandkids.
He is a completely different dude. Like and not that he's not ultra competitive, but I think the age and the grandchildren, I think all that has kind of softened him a little bit in like a good way, I would say.
He's always been very nice to me every time that I talk.
But I will say this, if you look at him wrong, Alonzo Mourning is always standing next to him and he will chop you in the throat.
I don't mess with Alonzo. I go the other way when I see him and Rick Mahorn.
Yeah.
All right, so coming up next for you is Shedano and Cap. What kind of stupidity is coming up today, George?
I don't know. What kind do you want to get into?
It's your call.
How's the beard thing going? We got to work out. We got to discuss that, actually.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to that. These guys go.
Next 2.5 hours, it is a special edition.
What, you want to stick around?
No, Pepe showed up for like 10 minutes. He can stick around.
Pepe can stick around. I don't care.
Anybody
it's all
wants
good.
To hang out. Shedano and Cap coming up next. Me in for Cap, 710 ESPN.